Hello, welcome to Bath City Church. This is session 5 of our Kickstart course. We hope you enjoy.
Well, I'm really excited about tonight. Talking about faith is my favourite subject to talk about, so that should be great. But before I do that, I just wanted to say it's really great that Craig here and Sam, who was here last week, both got baptized yesterday. So that's great news, isn't it? And I've just asked, and I asked Craig earlier on if he'd just come up just for a couple of minutes and share with us what the experience was like for him.
Thank you. Do I have to use the mic?
Yeah.
Oh. I thought last night was the last time.
The whole hog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so last night I got baptized. The whole week leading up to it, I was nervous, not of swimming, getting in the water, but more doing this, actually, talking to people with a microphone, which Tony's made me do again. I asked a lot of people's opinions on baptism, and I heard a lot of stories. A lot of people asked me how I felt about baptism, and they heard the same thing, nervous to talk to people on a microphone. I was nervous until Sunday morning when I decided I didn't need to be nervous because I was doing this for God. So I thought, you know, you take my nerves and sort this out. And he did. People said, everyone had a different opinion. You'll get baptized, you'll come out the water feeling different, you'll come out the water feeling the same, you'll come out the water feeling wet. They were right. And I think everyone's experience is different. Mine was incredible for me. I had my first encounter where God spoke to me, and I don't know if it's the first time he spoke to me or maybe the first time I listened, but somehow we communicated, and it wasn't just me talking. He talked back. I put him on the spot, and he came through. You know, I asked him for a miracle, and he performed a miracle last night for me. Something I still can't believe that happened. It was phenomenal. I left last night feeling an emotional high. I woke up this morning feeling the same. And there's a gentleman, I don't know if you know him, Paul Cleland. He comes in here quite often. And Paul would always come running in here after he'd been baptized. He always say, I want to get baptized again. And I always thought, oh, Paul, you know, you can't do it again. Today I came in here and I felt like Paul. I was just like, I want to get baptized again. So I felt that, and I could relate to how he feels. It was something that was so special to me. Just to feel it, to see how he worked in me, and not maybe the actual act of going in the water was significant, but perhaps the things that were before and after that really touched me. Yeah. So I would highly recommend it.
Great. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. I got him to come up and speak because he said that was the one thing that he didn't really look forward to doing. So I thought, right, well, let's get him to get up and speak so then he can overcome that. Because he said, you know, here he's with family, right? You know, with friends. So that makes all the difference. So tonight we're going to talk about faith. And I've entitled the tonight Adventures in Faith, and you'll see why. You know, the Christian life should be a great adventure. It should be fun. We should see things happen, and we should see God move. And one of the key ways of doing that is by faith. So my question is, right at the start where I've done the introduction, is this. Why talk about faith? Why do we talk about faith so much? You'll see in the Christian life that faith is talked about a lot, but it's often really misunderstood. People don't realize what it's all about. And so I'm hoping tonight, in the half an hour I've got to talk about faith, which is never, never enough, that I can just open some things up for you that will really help. So why do we talk about faith? Well, Galatians 3 verse 11 has this to say. It says, "But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith." So in other words, God wants us as Christian people to live by faith. So that tells me that that's a very important thing for us to get hold of. And then in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, every time I read that, I think, wow, that's such an awesome thing to think of. But if you turn that around, that means that with faith, you can please God. With faith, you can please God all of the time. And that's an awesome thing to think about. And Luke 18 and verse 8 has a very interesting scripture where it talks about Jesus coming back to the earth, and it says, "Even so, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Now, to me, that's a really interesting statement, because that means that God is looking for faith. He's looking for us to have faith and to use our faith, because he wants to see faith on the earth. You could think, well, when God comes back, surely he'll be looking to see if we all love each other. And yeah, he will. But actually, the word here says he's looking for faith. Why is he looking for faith? Because that's a sign that we're really trusting God. Because in order to operate in faith, we have to trust and believe in the Word of God and in God himself. So he's looking for a people who are going to put him in high esteem and look for him and trust him. Amen? There's also another interesting scripture, which is also a challenge for us, that in Romans 14, 23, where it says, "Whatever is not of faith is sin." Now, I always find that's a real challenge to me, because none of us want to operate in sin. And so the challenge here is, therefore, let's operate in faith. And in Galatians 6, verse 10, we see that we are called the household of faith. That's who we are. We're the household of faith. And so it's, to me, that suggests that it's very important that we all get a real grasp of faith and what it is and how to operate in it. Now, the first three sections here that I have covered is just really simple. That is a thing that I just really liked people to get hold of. What faith is, how do you receive it, and who has it, and how much. Because those three things kind of like tie everything down and enable you to walk from there into a life of faith. So let's talk about what faith is. Now, if I was to go around the room, which we haven't got time for, and I was to ask every single person in the room, what do you think faith is? I reckon that I will probably get as many people in the room as answers. Because we all have a little thing of what we think faith is. And so it's important that we just kind of like tie it down and we say, okay, what is faith? And in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, it kind of like gives you faith's definition. And because it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." It's really, really simple, but I want to break that down for you. So first of all, we see that faith, the word faith comes from a Greek word meaning called pistis, which means a conviction, a confidence, a trust, belief, reliance, persuasion, or a divinely imparted principle. This is what we believe. This is the basis of us believing. It's the basis of our conviction. It's the basis of our confidence. It's the basis of our trust. And the first thing that it says in Hebrews 11:1 is this: now faith is. So I want you to understand that faith is always in the now. Faith is always now for us. God wants us to have a now faith, not a past faith or a future faith. Faith always operates in the here and now. Because it's now that we need faith to operate in our lives for things that we're believing for. Not you know, 10 days down the line, but it's a now thing. So now faith is. And then it says, faith is a substance. Now, it's a substance. It's a substance is a strong, tangible thing that supports everything. So if I was to knock on this podium here, that's a substance, right? We know that as a substance, don't we? Or what you're sitting on, that chair, is a substance. You rely on that substance of that chair. Well, faith is a substance in exactly the same way that that chair that you sat on is a substance, but it's a substance in the spiritual realm, not in the physical realm. But the thing that you're sat on, you rely on. When you came in tonight and you sat down, you didn't go and, excuse me a sec, Craig, you didn't go and kind of like, now I wonder if that chair will support my weight. I wonder if it's strong enough. I wonder if it's got enough substance to it to support my weight. No, you didn't think about that, did you? You just sat down. Faith operates in exactly the same way. Because it's a substance. It's a strong spiritual substance. And if you think about it, in the end, a spiritual person, God, created a physical person, this chair. So it's something really strong and tangible that we can rely on. And then it's based on hope. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Are you hoping for something? You know, we're all hoping for something, aren't we? But, you know, I could say, like I do all the time, I hope that one day I might have an Aston Martin. Just happens to be my favourite car, okay? I hope for an Aston Martin. And, you know, I can hope, and I can hope, and I can hope. But it doesn't make any difference until I put some faith substance to it. So it is the substance of things that I'm hoping for. Now, it's important that we hope. Faith and hope are really power twins that work together. Unless you are hoping for something, then you've nothing for faith to work for. So if you've been sick and you're hoping to get well, then when you apply faith to that, it begins to work. If you're not hoping to get well, then faith's got nothing to work with. Understand that? It's simple stuff, but it's important things. And then he says it's evidence. It is evidence. You know, we understand what evidence is because we all watch crime movies and things like that. And evidence is something that proves you trust it. So when somebody says to you, if you are believing for something, if you're applying your faith to something, and somebody says, well, how on earth do you know that that's going to happen? Your faith is the evidence that this is going to happen when nothing else will do. you with me on that? It's the evidence that you've got. So if somebody say, if you're saying to somebody, well, I believe I'm healed, what evidence have you got for that? I don't see any change in you. No, but my faith is the evidence. And the faith, my faith, which is the evidence, will cause what I'm hoping for to come to manifestation. And then it says, of things not seen. Romans 4, verse 17, it talks about Abraham, who believed against hope. He hoped against hope, and he believed, and he called those things that were not as though they are. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? What faith calls things that are not as though they are? It doesn't call things that are as though they're not. So you don't go around by faith saying, oh, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, because it can be evident to everybody that you are. But you, instead of that, you declare, I am healed. No one can see that. No one's got the evidence for it. But your faith sees it as healed. So that's basically what faith is in a nutshell. I mean, there's a whole much bigger subject around that, but it helps you to start off. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we have to say to ourselves from there, faith, therefore, connects us to the spiritual realm. It connects us to God himself. Because if our faith is a spiritual substance, if our faith is where we are touching the spiritual realm and believing God, then it brings a certainty to our life. But I want to ask you now, though, how do you get faith? That would seem like a really important thing, wouldn't it? How does faith come? We know what faith is, but how does faith come? Well, Romans 10 and verse 17 simply says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Mm-hmm. So faith is connected really directly to the word of God. So your faith comes by hearing the word. That's why the word of God is so important in a Christian life, because faith comes that way. And the more that you hear, the more that you read, the more that you receive, the more that you learn about God, the more confident that you get, the more encouraged you become, and the more that faith rises up on the inside of you. The word is the only true source of faith. But then if we look at Ephesians, which we have looked at before, but Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So saving faith is a gift from God. God somehow places something on the inside of you that has enabled all of us to respond to God. You know, when you heard the word, when you heard the gospel preached, or you heard somebody sharing about Jesus and what Jesus had done in your heart, and the possibility of responding to that, when that happened, there was by grace a saving faith on the inside of you that enabled you to respond. So we were saved by grace through faith. So how do we receive it? Well, Romans 10, if we go back to Romans 10, this that little passage in Romans 10 is very important, and I just encourage you just to read Romans 10 again and get hold of this. But Romans 10 and verses 8 to 10 has this to say. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So the word of faith is preached and it's near you. And then it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Remember, we talked about righteousness last week. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when you believed in your heart and spoke it with your mouth, you were saved. And faith was received. So then, who has faith and how much do we have? Romans 10:14 then says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, he says, if you haven't believed in him, you haven't called on him, you're not saved. But we have believed in him. We have called on him, and therefore we are saved. Therefore, we have faith. And I think that's a really important thing. We have to get hold of this. We have, I tell you what, let me cover the next one first. How much faith do we have? Well, Romans 12, verse 3 says this, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And a measure of faith means, in effect, a portion measured off for you. So when you got born again, a portion of faith was given to you. And it's important that we get that, because I hear all the time, lots of people will say, oh, I don't have faith for that. I don't think I've got much faith. Just a little faith. I'm not even sure I've really got any faith. Do you know something? That's nonsense. Because you do. You have faith. It was given to you when you got born again, just like you became righteous when you were born again. It's part of the package. But the thing is, lots of people get really concerned about it and think that they don't have it or it's just a small amount. And I'll help you in a moment to see that all those passages where it talks about faith being as small as a mustard seed is not actually talking about small faith. It's talking about something else. But the important thing for us also to understand is that God has faith. God uses his faith by speaking. God created the universe by faith. Hebrews 11:3 says that. By faith, God created. And how did he do it? By his words. So when we look at Genesis 1:3, the first thing that God says is, let there be light. Or in actual fact, he said, light be. I always like to think it's really funny because everybody understands the universe as being light and all of that, and they say that the universe is expanding. Well, I always think that the word that God spoke when he said, light be, and light just came into existence and it started traveling 176,000 miles a second, and it hasn't stopped. Because God spoke and it happened. I love all those little things. He did it by speaking. He brought the earth into existence by speaking and by using his faith. Because it says, by faith he created. So, on that basis, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, on the basis that we have faith, and on the basis that we have the measure of faith, the same measure of faith that God has, how do we get to, how do we move to having adventures in faith? Because it's, I think it's really important. Well, Matthew 17 and verse 20. I'm not going to go there because we're running a bit out of time. But we have faith, but we have to develop it just like a baby has to develop their muscles. You know, when you see a newborn baby, every muscle that he's ever going to have or she is ever going to have is right there. Okay? But can that baby lift weights like a champion weightlifter? No. What's the difference? Exercise. So that's why I've put down there. It's not about the size, it's about activation. And all the scriptures that you see where it says that if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you'd say to that mountain, be removed, or you'd say to that mulberry tree, be removed and be cast into the sea. It's not talking about whether you have a little faith. It's talking about faith as a seed. So our faith starts as a seed, and our faith has to be developed. Our faith has to grow, and our faith grows as we begin to activate it, as we begin to declare it, as we begin to operate in faith, as we begin to use our faith, and it causes it to grow. And the place, the best place in the whole world for faith to grow is on the inside of you. That's why he placed it in there, because it was the perfect environment for it to grow. And God wants it to grow. He wants it to develop. And as you use it, as you activate it, as you declare it, as you say, as you use your faith, then it will grow. Amen? Jesus, in Mark 11, 22 to 24, tells us about how to use faith. First of all, he says, have faith in God. Or some other translators say, he actually says, have the God kind of faith. For anyone who does that can, everyone who, if I'll try and remember it without turning to it. If you say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that whatsoever you say will come to pass, you shall have whatever you say. Notice there, it to begin with, it says say three times more than it does say believe. So obviously, in order to get things moving for us, we have to actually begin to say it. And then we have to believe it. And the great thing that I find here is in verse 24, because as soon as Jesus has set this spiritual principle in place of how you operate in faith, Jesus then says, therefore I say. So immediately he sets the principle in place and then he uses it, because he says, therefore I say, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you shall, and you shall have them. So he sets a principle in place and then he says, therefore I say. So he so much wants us to operate and use our faith, to believe. And when Jesus does that, his key is to speak the word of God. There is a real key in speaking the word of God. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish whatsoever I please. In other words, the word of God always accomplishes its task. So if we, when we are believing God and we're using our faith, we use the word of God will always work, which is why we do that. Now, last week at the end of the meeting, Tris and I and a few people around were praying for Andy because he had a situation on the inside of him that needed healing. And I can remember praying the word over him, and I know Tris did as well. And we prayed and we believed God that something was going to change. And Andy came to me on Sunday and said, "I've got the all clear. I'm healed." It's great. See, that's what we should expect when we put our faith out on purpose. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So let me close there. There's a few other things that I wanted to say, but I just wanted to help you with this one thing. You can check some of the other scriptures, but I want to give you the idea of seeing it like a farmer sees it. You know, a farmer who, especially a cereal farmer, when he approaches a field and it's blank, it looks fallow and there's nothing, looks as though nothing can grow in it, no change in it, what does he do? First of all, he plows over the field and he prepares it, he gets the field ready, and then he sows that field with, so let's say, wheat seed. And he sows that field. Just in the same way as when we are using our faith, we sow the word, which is why I told you about Mark 4. So look at that. From that moment on, once he's sown that seed, the farmer never looks at that field in exactly the same way again. Because he knows he's sown the seed, and as long as it gets watered and as long as the sun's on it and as long as he takes care of it and looks after it, it will produce a harvest. And he may even know just exactly more or less how much money he's going to get from the harvest in this field and maybe go and order a brand new tractor as a result of that. Such is his faith. That is exactly how we can operate in faith, just like that farmer. That when we have made that declaration, when we have spoken it out, when we've believed in our hearts, that it doesn't change and we shall see a result. And that's why and that's where it becomes an adventure in faith. And the more that we do that, the more that we use it, the more that we exercise it, the more we shall see answers to our faith. Because God is looking out for it. God is wanting to respond to our faith. Amen?
Thank you for listening to this Bath City Church podcast. We trust it has been a blessing to you. For more information about us, please visit www.bathcitychurch.org.uk.